Welcome to Sister Share, where six sisters living around the world come together each week to talk about motherhood, health, cooking, parenting, and so much more. Thanks for joining us today.
Hello, welcome back to Sister Share. We're so glad you joined us on this episode. I'm Nettie, calling in from Okinawa.
I'm Lorraine, calling in from Rexburg.
I am Mamie, and I'm calling in from Cache Valley.
And I'm Katie, calling from Spanish Fork.
And hopefully, Becca and Heidi will join us eventually. We also want to remind you that you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and anywhere that podcasts can be found. And today, our episode is about developing drive. This stems from a conversation that I had with a friend this week about how do you get children to do things and accomplish things and feel the desire to be successful or to actually get involved. So this is just a candid discussion. How do you get your children to have drive and do something and act?
I think this is a really good question, Nettie, and I'm glad that we're talking about it today because all of us struggle at some point or another, and I think there's so many different levels of drive. When I think about your family, oh my goodness, your family does so much, and all of your kids are involved in so many things, it's overwhelming for me to think about. But on the other hand, it's good for us to have our kids be doing things and wanting to of their own accord. The first thing that comes to my mind is something that someone mentioned to me just recently that really struck a chord, and that is we want to teach our children to be creators and not consumers. And that for me is helpful to visualize. If I think, oh, I want my kids to be creators, then I think of things that they can do for when they're little right now, like instead of sitting down and watching a movie, for example, I could have my girls be making paper beads like we just found in our closet the other day and we dug it out. And in that setting, they were creating, they were doing something to contribute. So if we can teach her anytime we can assess a situation, say, is my child being a creator right now or are they being a consumer, and try and steer them toward being a creator, that can be helpful just in the little things.
That's a great point. I love those words, creator, contributor, as opposed to consumer.
Right.
That reminds me of President Uchtdorf's talk, it's Elder Uchtdorf now, about being creators, that is our ultimate destiny, is to create, and that speaks to our spirit. When I was talking to my girls about this yesterday, my two married ones, the first thing that came up was that our core beliefs guide our actions. And so because our core beliefs are that we can become like God, that inspires what we do and how we try to make that happen in our homes.
What is it that drives children to want to be creators and contributors rather than consumers? Where does that come from? I'm just answering the question for myself, probably in the first place, out of example from their parents, as they've watched their parents contribute to society or care about something and want to step outside of themselves.
I agree with that, Nettie. Being an example is the first step that we can take. It's something we have control over, so that's invigorating for me. But any time that we can show that we value that, I think we've talked about that in another podcast, just showing that we value creativity in our children when we see it, we can value that in our own lives and in the lives of others around us. Anytime we bring attention to something, it's showing our kids that we value that.
I think so much of the world has turned to screens and digital, and there's just a natural apathy that's come into the world that so much of our lives are sitting and looking and watching. And what we want is our children to do something besides that and beyond that. And I think it's a problem that's probably getting a little bit bigger in our society with children. But I think we're fighting it all the time. Apathy is a real issue.
I also think as a parent, it's hard to do and see. There are so many times as a parent, I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I just want to sit and watch a movie and turn off my brain. I've been going all day. And it's like Mame said in a previous one, the 3%, if we can push ourselves just enough to be a better example, at least when I feel guilty about parenting, that's usually what it's about. is my example to my kids. And it's just hard. So I don't have a lot of answers here. I'm coming to learn. I also think in the moment, when my kids are still at home too, in the moment, what I see sometimes are the things I wish they would do differently. But as I've watched my elders get married, I realize they've learned things and I'm proud of them and they're doing right things with their lives. But when I'm in the middle of the home life, it's hard to see the motivation. So help.
I just wanted to touch on the technology that Nettie brought up, staring at a screen. I just recently listened to a podcast about technology and helping our kids develop technology skills. And one of the things that they mentioned is that you can be a creator on technology. So your child could be having screen time for 2 hours where they're just watching a movie, which is consuming. But you could also have your child be on the screen for 2 hours creating something, whether it's music or art or something. They can be creators using technology, which is so fascinating to me. And I think we need to recognize that too.
Really good point, Mamie. You're right. Thinking back to our own childhood and when my children were younger, how did we help them develop drive? I think the first step, besides being an example, would be that responsibility and expectations and having things from a young age that we expect them to do, like make their bed or put their shoes away or take care of their clothes. I think drive and accomplishing things starts with those basic expectations from when they're small.
I think kids are born with a desire to create. I mean, some of my greatest frustrations as a mother of young children is their creations. so I think that they're born with a desire to create, but I like what you said, Nan, about having, you know, helping hone it in and recognizing that there are expectations. I also, Ray, I don't know, this was years ago, but Becca told me she had a conversation with you about saying yes. And I feel like so many times when my kids are creating and it's making a mess or it's using supplies I'm not ready for them to use or whatever, that you shouldn't say no, you should say yes. You shouldn't be totally shutting it down. You should be saying yes and helping them build on it while still correcting them. I don't know if you have insights there, but I would love to hear them.
Thanks for reminding me, Kate. I had a good parenting moment at one time. Sarah reminded me of that yesterday too. She has four littles at home and she said that that's one of her goals is to say yes, if possible. And she also mentioned along those lines that giving kids free time without screens and without entertainment is helping them be creative when they have to come up with stuff to do. And we had a lot of that growing up, I believe. It was very motivating because you have to choose. You're going to be bored or you have to choose. I remember one of Mama's favorite sayings when we came to her was, when we said, what should I do? She would say, spit in your shoe, which was our signal to go figure it out. Do it for ourselves. Find something entertaining or creative in our own world.
Larae, I think that free time might be one of the answers we're looking for tonight. I think when kids have free time, then they can develop, then they can find something that interests them, then they can press forward and get an idea and get excited and commit to something. And just the kids today are so scheduled sometimes that they miss out on that opportunity to go out and take what they have, their resources, and really be successful with it. That just is an idea that crossed my mind just now. I love it.
And it reminds me of what Mama said happened to her when she was little. Grandma Bisson would, in the afternoon in the summertime, send all the older kids outside and lock the door so the littles could take naps. And they just were outside for like 3 or 4 hours. And we've done that at our house too. It's when the weather's nice, just let the kids be outside and let them explore and create for themselves. The other thing that triggered a memory was with Lindsay. Lindsay is just down the street from me and she's so good about helping her kids create. One of the things she said she does is that she puts all of their cardboard that we now have a lot of because a lot of our packages come straight to the door. She'll put it all downstairs in one bedroom
and that's their creation room. And the boys can go down and they make little airplanes and they make all sorts of things out of cardboard. And that's been inspiring to me. I want to be more like Lindsay.
We want to take a minute and welcome Becca, who just joined us. Thanks for joining this week, Becca.
Thanks for having me. Sorry, I'm a little late.
Life happens.
Developing habits as a family is big, and teaching kids to prioritize the hard things first, to do what has to be done, and then they will enjoy their free time better and feel more creative. I just know when I feel like I'm overwhelmed with things that have to be done, I don't feel creative. Or if I'm sitting, then I don't, it's not motivating. But if my must-dos are done, then my can-dos feel much more fun.
I love that too, Ray. And I do have a thought. I don't know where it fits in, but I do want to share it. Service is doing something for someone else that they cannot do for themselves. And when you do something for someone else that they can do for themselves, it's a disservice. So that applies to our children. If my child knows how to get themselves dressed and I'm dressing them, then that's doing them a disservice. So as they grow and develop, as a mother, it's important for us to be aware of what can my child do on their own and let them do it. If my daughter needs shoes and she has money that she can help provide for that, then I should let her help provide for that. It will be different in every situation, but anytime that we can remember what can my child do, I'm going to expect them to do that part. What they can't do for themselves, I can help with.
And I think that's another of the golden tickets we might be talking about, Mamie, or looking for, is if children have too much, then they lose drive. It's almost more beneficial to not have enough. And that's what brings the drive into them to reach a goal or to earn something or to do something that they don't naturally just have. I remember my son wanted a drone and it was $1,500. And he decided he'd go out and paint curb numbers for houses. He charged $15 a curb. And I thought, he'll never reach that goal. Well, 8 weeks later, he'd reached it. And he'd literally spent hours and hours and hours in the sun going door to door trying to get this business. And I think, why did he have that drive? If I had given him the money for the drone, he wouldn't have needed to develop that drive to go and earn it. So less is more in raising children. If you feel like your children are not motivated, maybe they have too much. Maybe it's time to help them earn a few things or do without and then want naturally to have more of these things they don't have.
And the quote that goes along with that is, necessity is the mother of invention. And as mothers, we can cultivate that by saying, oh, that's a great thing that you want that drone. What can we do to earn that?
And that's a famous quote in Japanese too. And since I do know it in Japanese, I'm going to share it with you. Hitsuyo wa hatsume no haha.
I love it. And Mame, will you also just on the comments post what Mama always told us? This has been my parenting mantra forever, is that, and I can't say it perfectly, never do for a child what they can do themselves. And then there are two more. Will you say that and also post it?
Yes. Never do for a child. No, wait, doesn't it start with never ask a child to do something they cannot do? Never ask a child to do something you don't see to it that they do. Never ask a child to do something you are not willing to do yourself. And then what was the one you just added, Ray?
Well, what we've just been talking about, that kids should be doing what they can. But I feel like it's kind of all in there. In a different way.
Right.
So I just love that quote. It's guided my parenting, and I just feel like it's so perfect.
It is. It guides mine too. It's one of my things I come back to when I'm flustered as a mother. What do I do? The thought I had when I was thinking about developing drive is, I think I just remember Mama saying, I feel like some parents want to kind of push their kids sooner than, you know, to grow up a little faster, you know, to kind of push them and send them off to their preschool, or push them and, you know, it's time for you to wear makeup and you're, you know, I don't know, earlier than really is necessary, or,
you know, oh, it's time to get you into sports. It's time to get you into, you know, into extracurriculars. When really, if we just let them be home or let them be young, let them be kids, let them be, you know, play in the dirt with their toys, you know, and maybe not let, you know, think that they have to rush off to school, or I don't know. This isn't against preschool or anything like that, but to just let them, I don't know. Heidi has a sign in her kids' room that says, let them be little, let them be little, let them have the little experiences of life. So anyway, that was a thought that came to me, that if we aren't pushing them so much and we enjoy the stage they're at, then I think they'll be ready for, you know, to go out and work hard for a drone. I love that, Nan, that you shared that. Or let them, you know, go and earn their money for their pair of shoes, because they'll have had the experience they needed before, and they'll be emotionally and, you know, they'll have developed to the point that they're ready now for this next great thing that we're, you know, that we're encouraging them to do. So that was, I thought, but you probably already visited that. I'm not sure, but.
You said it perfectly, no, I love it, Becca.
I just remember Mama always talking about whenever we'd go and visit BYU, they had met there and they fell in love there, and she loved BYU. And every time we would go, she would cry and talk about how much she loved it. And that in me instilled a desire to go to BYU. So I think it doesn't have to be BYU, but whatever you love, whatever you accomplish as a mother, share that with your children and help them get excited about that. Not that we say, oh, you've got to, I don't think she ever said you've got to go to BYU, or she just loved it herself. And so all of us wanted to follow in that direction.
I totally second that, Mame. And my kids have said, you know, sometimes I'm like, oh, I love, you know, that you guys love, you know, all these great things. And they say, well, we love it because you did, Mama, you know, because you love it. And you love good music. You love good books. You love, you know, different things. And I've thought the same thing. That's why I love the things I love, because Mama just loved them. And you learn so much, and, you know, just from something that your parents love, and that's their quest. That's what their where their heart is. And
right. And it can translate to going on a mission, getting your first job, just sharing stories. And I think the principle that goes along with that is, if you want someone to know the truth, you tell them the truth. If you want them to love the truth, you tell them a story. So the more we can share our own experiences and our love for whatever it is, the more that will translate to our own children.
I think that reminds me, another thing my girls brought up yesterday about this topic was that knowing our family history stories is also highly motivating. So our parents, for sure, but also ancestors, pioneers who came across the plains, their stories and the things that they overcame and the things they did with their lives are so motivating, which reminds me of Elder Scott's talk where he said that teaching our children our family stories will actually save them in the last days. Family history can save our kids, and that might not directly have to do with motivating them, but I do feel like listening to my family history stories helps me identify who I am and makes me want to carry on this legacy. I think that's very motivating. It gives some perspective, and which is one of my other thing notes here really quick, is that when we look back at our lives, we see where we've come from, but kids are all from the front. We have to give them perspective. I know that we've had a lot of missionaries out during some really hard times, and they've hit some really hard times. And one way we have tried to help them is to help them see that if they can hang on for a little bit longer, they will spend the rest of their lives being grateful for the little extra that they had to do to hang on, because they can look back with pride and with gratitude for the things they learned. Those are the learning moments, is when we're hanging on. So perspective, I guess, and family history.
I agree with that, Larae. I wrote down value life. I've been thinking about everything my kids are involved in right now, the drive they have for their various activities. We have 5 teenagers, and oh my goodness, we're so busy with track and musicals and scouts and clubs and all these things. And I think, why I didn't ask them to do any of these things. Why are they so involved? And I think it comes down to their perspective and that they value life. It's like if you have a bird's eye view of your life and you realize it's not just this moment, but there are eternal consequences and you came from somewhere and there are people in your past and people in your future that you are accountable to both ways, that's when you're willing to do something and accomplish something and not just sit at home. So like you said, the stories are valuable, the perspective is valuable, but just basically assuming that there's a purpose in life, that's what gives us drive, that we're here to do something and to do good, actually, like Mamie mentioned with the service as well. And one other thought I had is everyone has their unique talents. And one of the wonderful things as a parent is watching your child unfold and discovering who that child is and what it is that drives them and where their creative directions are and what they want to be involved in. We have 10 children, and one of our favorite phrases that we use all the time is, wow, you're number 6 and you're still first at this, or you're number 7 and you're still first at this. Our daughter who's number 5 is the first cheerleader we had. Who knew that child number 5 could do something for the first time? And child number 6 was admitted to Princeton. You know, he has all these older siblings, but he was still first at something. And it's not about being first at something. It's just the fact that everyone is unique and everyone develops in their own way. And isn't that so wonderful? So as children do develop drive within themselves and decide what they're interested in and what they want to be involved in, it's like an unfolding of this beautiful soul, and we get to discover who they are and what they want to do and where their talents are at.
I love that, Nan. And we can support them in what they see, what they are driven to do. Anything we can do as parents to say, look, you're doing this and this is so neat. And cheering them on and going as a family to support them is so, so beneficial and powerful.
That's neat. And I wanted to know, okay, who is that quote by that said family history stories will save your children? Or
yeah, it's Elder Richard D. Scott, and I'll post it on the link.
Quick story about that. We've been studying family history in our house, and my daughter just kind of started falling in love with the Fauntleroy Hunsaker family history. The other day she came into my room, it was late at night. I was already in bed. She said, Mom, I need to tell you something. And she said, I wasn't honest with you earlier today. She said, I read in Fauntleroy history that the children knew, like Pa and Aunt Catherine and Uncle Vern, they all knew that they needed that if they were honest, Grandma Mamie wouldn't get mad. And she said, I think you try to run our house that same way. And so I'm going to come in and correct something I said to you earlier today. So it was motivating, and it was the family history story that motivated her.
That's so touching, Katie.
That's really cool, Katie. I love that. In fact, Jared writes letters to our kids every Christmas. He writes a story of his childhood and a lesson that he learned from it. And we have it in a binder. And every once in a while, I see the kids pull it out and read a story. But they all have a moral to them. I mean, that'll be some experience that he did something crazy, and they have a lesson learned. And I've appreciated that about him. We have a book of maybe 50 stories that all have a moral.
Ray, we'd love to have that. I can't see Jared doing anything crazy.
You might be surprised at some things I get revealed.
Can we take it back just one notch? We've talked about, I've written down over 12 ideas for developing drive, but can we just go back to that beginning time? How do we teach drive to young children? Any thoughts on that?
I have one more thought. I think it's good to expect them to do hard things, and I think you can be there through it to help them. But I think what's been motivating to me are usually when I've been asked to do something I don't think I can do, but Mama made me do it, you know, like not made me, not forced me, but she had that expectation for me to do it.
and I wasn't going to be let off the hook. And I feel like I can look back on those moments in my life and say, I did these hard things. I can do another hard thing.
Nan, you always had that quote in your house, our family can do hard things. And I've thought about that a lot too. And I think Mama and Pa were good at involving us in some of their hard things with their choices and their decisions. And we saw them overcome. And they did expect that of us too. It was an example.
And maybe the truth is that when you get to a hard point like that, Katie, you said the child thinks, I can't actually go through with this. But then they do, and they make it. Maybe there's a faith that's built and a belief that there are solutions out there, and we're going to make it through. And so it's okay to try things and engage in things because there's a happy ending. And you start to want that euphoria that you feel when you come out on the other side of a difficult experience or something that you've really had to put your heart and soul into. And children can learn to want that feeling and that success.
You've been talking about hard things. And I think as a parent, often it's easy for us to try and get our child out of it. And it's important that we not do that. Like if they're given a hard teacher at school, we could request a different teacher, but we could also, like Mama did, say, you can learn something from every teacher you have. And it teaches us that we can take what we've been given and run with it and make it. And the experience I wanted to share is with Maddie, who did swim the first 3 years of her high school career. And her first year, she had never done swim before. And one of the meets, her coach asked her to do the 500 meter. Is it the 500 meter? I don't even know. But it was the longest race. And she was devastated. She came home and said, my coach put me on this race and I don't even know if I can do it. But she was already signed up and so she went through with it, and we were all there that day, and she really struggled. She went through you have to go back and forth like 15 times, I don't even know, but a lot of times, and she came up thinking she was done, and she still had two or three more laps to do, and you could tell she was in tears, but all of her teammates rallied around her, and we were screaming from the stands too, you can do this, you can do this. She came in dead last, but she did it. And she then later wrote about that story for her BYU application because it meant so much to her that she had actually done that hard thing. So it's easy to shy away from hard things, but if we can let our children do it and be there next to them, like you said, Katie, while they're doing it, then it can be such a beneficial thing for them.
Man, that's a beautiful story. If our children know who they are children of God. And he has put us here to succeed, to be wonderful, to become like him. My quote is, I don't know even how pertinent this is, but I loved it, from Elder L. Ray Christensen in 1972. He's quoting a scouter from the Scouter's Minute, and it's a poem. So long as there are homes to which men turn at close of day, so long as there are homes where children are, where women stay, if love and loyalty and faith be found across those sills, a stricken nation can recover from its gravest ills. So long as there are homes where fires burn and there is bread, so long as there are homes where lamps are lit and prayers are said, although a people falter through the dark and nations grope, with God himself back to these little homes, we have sure hope. I just really feel that if we can teach our children who they are and let them have a relationship with their Savior, he can guide and lead them and give them drive too.
That was absolutely beautiful, Ray.
That was gorgeous, Ray. I was thinking that's kind of, I don't know if the youth program has been brought up, the children and youth program, but that kind of, I feel like that's why the brethren are teaching the youth through the youth program to receive their own direction about what their goals should be, what their focus should be, so they can receive inspiration and, you know, and work on those four areas of self-development with physical, social, intellectual, and spiritual. Anyway, it just brought that to my mind.
Glad you brought that up, Becca. That's such a key, something that a tool we have that we can use with our kids.
Yeah, and along with that, I think PPIs, personal appreciated interviews, or parent interviews is helpful, where kids get one-on-one time and feel valued in the family, especially since most of us have really big families. That's helpful. And family councils, where we're setting goals. Family nights, where we're talking about the Savior and hearing each other's testimonies. All of those contribute to kids feeling like they can and should accomplish good things. All right, our topic was developing drive. We started out by talking about being creators and not consumers, and that we can be creative on screen was a point. That one of the most important things is being an example as a parent with our own lives in being creative and using our time wisely, with our expectations with our children and the things that they can do. Saying yes, if possible, especially when they're young, and giving them free time to be creative, their little natural creative selves. Letting kids do what they can, never doing for them what they can do for themselves. Teaching them their family history stories and our own stories that are uplifting and that have inspired us. And that they have a perspective on life and where they fit and that they value life. That they each have unique talents. And that they learn who they are as children of God.
Thank you all for joining us. Just a reminder, you can follow us on Instagram or Facebook. We're so happy that you were in on our Sister Share call today. Join us again next week for another fun podcast.